I'm pretty sure I've shared this story with you before, but I always think about it when I read today's gospel. When Christina was in probably, it was fourth, fifth, or sixth grade. I don't know, somewhere in there. So probably, 25, 30 years ago. The county extension came to school. And I don't know if it was Norm Brown or if he had retired at that point or not. But anyway, so because they would come and they would do this presentation for the kids. But when he did it, and the presentation was on trees and the importance of planting trees and all this. And so he brought trees. He brought, one was, I think, an Austrian pine. And the other one was a pecan tree. I didn't know that pecans would grow in Nebraska even at that point, because you don't see them around very often. So anyway, she brought these things home, and Dad helped her plant them. And one was the Austrian pine was kind of over by the between the cottonwood and the hackberry, and they kind of grew up and kind of stunted its growth anyway. And it eventually, I don't know, it got maybe 10 feet tall, but then I think we eventually cut it out. But the pecan tree was down, it was planted on just the other side. We had a kind of a bigger maple tree, and it was planted on the north side of that. Well, it had issues, okay? First, it was all location. It was pretty much in the shade, so it didn't get a lot of direct sunlight. And the second one is that it got mowed off or weed whipped off. at least ones that I know of. Because I remember looking at, because it was planted kind of down a little, you know, they dug out the hole, you know, the sod around it. So it was kind of down in this little hole. And I remember looking down on it from the top, and it had leaves were shot out from the outside. So, well, but it just kind of continued to sit there and not really do anything. But as it happened, a windstorm came along. And this windstorm, maple tree had gotten kind of, it was kind of a split tree anyway, and it had lost some branches. And anyway, I think one of the big things went over, the big branches went over and split, so Dad just ended up cutting the whole thing out. So, wow, now that was providential for the little pecan tree, which was now about 6 inches tall. And over the next, eventually, and I was surprised because, you know, usually when you top a tree off, it'll kind of bush out. But it actually, I don't know, fixed itself and figured out how to grow pretty straight. And so now this tree, this pecan tree, is probably, I don't know, be 20, 25 feet tall. And but, you know, it's a nice tree. It looks good in the yard and stuff like that. But I didn't know if it would ever produce pecans. Well, lo and behold, I don't know, was it 3 years ago or so? Something like that. 2 or 3 years ago, we started looking, and there were actually some pecans. Now, the squirrel got most of them. But the fact that it actually produced some nuts was just flabbergasting for me, considering the whole story of the tree, of where it came from and its growth and near-death experience several times. So the reason that I was thinking of that story is that in today's gospel, Jesus gives a parable. He says, "There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. When he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, 'For 3 years now, I've come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?' He said in reply, 'Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it, and it may bear fruit in the future. If not, then you can cut it down.'" And again, the reason I think of that, you know, if we had, you know, cut the tree down, or I got mowed off, we're just going to, you know, cut it off the rest of the way, you know, 25 years later, you know, we would have never had this beautiful pecan tree that produces at least some pecans, maybe enough for a pie. I don't know if Christina made a pie out of those that she had or not. But anyway, the point is that a lot of times we can be like that fig tree. A lot of times we can be like that pecan tree, you know, where it appears that our spiritual growth is stunted. It appears that there's nothing happening spiritually. We're kind of there, but we're kind of not. You know, we're not producing fruit. And so what do we, you know, what is our Lord telling us? He's telling us that he has patience. And that really patience is a key element in the spiritual life in several different ways. Okay. The first thing I think where we want to exhibit patience is that sometimes we need patience, and this has to do with the cultivation process, is that we have to be patient with ourselves, because our Lord is patient with us. You know, especially when we experience our own sinfulness and our own lack, our own need, you know, we feel like, you know, nothing's going right. And, you know, we don't have patience. We know, why can't we just, you know, be like somebody else? Or why can't we just do something better in our life? You know, and so what our Lord is urging us is that first of all, we need patience with ourselves, you know, when we're going through the conversion process. Because, you know, there's an old saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, conversions, you know, a lot of times we think about St. Paul when we think about conversion, and it's like, whoa, you know, you see Jesus and then everything's, you know, happy-go-lucky after that. But a conversion doesn't work like that. Conversion is a daily process. It takes years, you know, like a tree growing. There's a reason that Jesus used a tree, you know, as an example in this parable, is because those conversions, a lot of times they take years, you know, to root out sin, to root out, you know, those faults and failings that we have in our life. And so we have to have a certain amount of patience for ourselves, okay, in the spiritual life. And the second thing is that when we're looking at conversion is that, okay, if we have patience with ourselves, then, and we want God to have patience with us, is that we have to be patient with other people as well. You know, so if we want, you know, because a lot of times we want God to be patient with us, but we're not willing to be patient with other people. You know, we have to be children of our Father in heaven. God is patient with us. We have to be patient with other people. And sometimes it doesn't look like there's conversion or anything happening spiritually that's going on in somebody else's life. And so it may take a long time, you know, and so we have to be patient. We have to be patient with others and continue to persevere in prayer for that person. You know, like Saint Monica, you know, she prayed 20, 30 years for her son, 20, 30 years for her husband. You know, it probably a lot of times it didn't look like there was anything happening spiritually in St. Augustine's life. You know, he wasn't just hanging around with the wrong crowd. He was the wrong crowd. You know, it didn't look like there was anything happening, but she continued to persevere. She was patient with him. She continued to love him, even in the midst of that. And then the final thing I think is that for us in terms of the patience, in terms of conversion, is that we have to be patient with God. And because sometimes it's really hard, you know, to be, we look at things and it's just not, you know, things happen in life and we don't figure it out. And it's easy for us to get angry with God because it doesn't seem like there's anything happening. Well, I prayed for this and nothing happened. I said, well, sometimes those things take time. It's not that God is maybe telling us no. Maybe he's just saying, not yet. And so that patience is something that is important in our relationship with God. Because, again, if we're expecting instant, we like a lot of things instant. We have microwaves. I've got instant oatmeal, you know. You just put it in. We don't like to wait, you know, as human beings. But there's no instant grace, you know, it's like, okay, fix me. Instant grace, stir it up, drink it, and it's great. No, it doesn't work like that. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes patience and perseverance within that prayer. And so understanding that we can't see the whole picture as to how things are going to unfold in our lives is really important, because that helps us then to have patience with God. And that's where the going along with patience then is trust. You know, okay, Lord, I can't see anything happening in my life right now, but I'm going to trust that you're doing something. You know, just as this, you know, just as this gardener, you know, he didn't say anything for 3 years, and he was still willing to trust that there was something happening in that tree that was going to be good at the end of the day. I don't know if you've ever had fresh. When I was at the Holy Land, we had fresh figs. Oh my gosh, they were so good. So he was willing. He was believing. He was trusting that there was going to be something good at the end if he just waited, just another year. So let us do our best to have patience in conversion, both with ourselves, with others, to have patience with God, and ultimately then to pray for that gift of trust, and that will help us in our own spiritual journeys and in our life of faith.